We're doing Megillah, we're up to Chaf Gimel Amud Beis. The two dots are in the middle of the page. You see Tosfos Ve'omar Rabbi Yitzchak, you go into the Gemara, go up three lines. We had said in the Mishnah a slew of things that require a minimum of 10 people present. So we had said, Ve'en omirim birkat avilim u'birkat chatanim. We don't say the blessing of the mourning, the blessing to those that are mourning, or the blessing to the chatanim, with less than 10 people present. So the Talmud asks, "May birkat avelim? What is this blessing that you're blessing the mourners?" Answers the Gemara, "Birkat rechava." That's the blessing that they'd give them when they'd enter the square, so to speak, when they'd leave the cemetery. The Amar of Yitzchak, Amar of Yochanan. For Rabbi Yitzchak said, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Birkat Avelim Basara, in order to make this blessing, you must have 10 people present. Ve'en Avelim in Aminyan. And the mourners are not part of the count, because you're blessing the people who are in mourning, and then they give a blessing back. So you want to give a blessing back, you need to have a congregation to bless. So you need to have 10 people aside from the people who are mourning. Yeah?
Also, because an avel, he cannot perform certain mitzvot, he's exempt from performing certain mitzvot, therefore it's not counted also.
What's the connection?
An avel doesn't need to put the tefillin, he doesn't need to pray. So
and therefore?
Therefore, that's one of the reasons also why he's not counted?
No. No. Over here, it's not a minyan. The idea is you need to have 10 people, because they're going to bless him with this special blessing that he should be comforted. And after then he will also bless them. And in order for him to bless them, they have to be a congregation worth receiving a blessing. That means they have to be a minimum of 10. Birkat chatanim, sheva brachos, basara, it requires 10 people. Machatanim in aminyan, and the chasm is part of the count. So here people sometimes get confused. I was at a wedding at a sheva brachos where they wanted to honor the chasm with sheva brachos. Sheva brachos is a blessing that we're wishing upon the chasm. It's a little foolish to have him bless himself. So you can't say it's not kosher. They're part of the count. You know, you could do it. But it's pretty foolish, because the idea is that the congregation, the people present, are blessing the couple. May God give you guys happiness. May God give you guys love. So the chasm is going to bless himself and everyone's going to answer amen. It's a little bit not the idea. But at any rate, you need 10, and the chasm is one of the 10. We said in the Mishnah, "Ven mezamnina lamazon b'shem pachot me'asara." When you make a zimon and you're going to say nevarech elokeinu, you need a minimum of 10. Explains the Gemara, "Kivan debay lemeimar nevarech leelokeinu batzir me'asara lavorochara." You're going to say nevarech leelokeinu, less than 10 is not derech eretz. We said that when you're evaluating land, if a person dedicated land to the temple, so then you evaluate it with tisha, the kohen, you evaluate it with 9 people present and the kohen. You need a total of 10, one of which is the kohen. V'adam kaitzevem, and the same thing would be if a person designated a human being. He said, I'm dedicating him to the temple, or his value to the temple. So when you evaluate the person also, you need a minimum of 10 people, one of which is the Kohen. Minani mili. So the Gemara says, where'd you get this from? Amar Shmuel. So Shmuel, you guys remember Shmuel? He was the first generation Amora, master doctor, master astronomer. He was Rebbe's doctor. Shmuel said, when you look at the parsha that describes the evaluation procedures, so there you'll find 10 kohanim ketuvim b'parsha. That the word kohen is written 10 times, 3 times in the parsha of Erechin, 3 times when you designate an animal, 4 times in the parsha of in the parsha that you when you dedicate land to the temple. So if it says 10 times the word kohen, we derive that you need at least 10 people present. Now, how come you don't need 10 Kohanim? It says 10 times the word Kohen. So it says like this. Chad, the first time it says Kohen, Legupe. That's teaching you the body, the idea, you need one Kohen there. The Idach, and then the rest of the times it says Kohen, Havi miyut achal miyut, ven miyut achal miyut, ela lerabot. Tisha Yisraelim, v'chad Kohen. After that, we say, Kohen is a miyut. It's coming to the exclusion of a Yisrael, a Levi. We have a rule, miyut achal miyut lerabot. If you have a double negative, it's to the exclusion. I don't want you to come. What am I saying? I do want you to come. So that's a major double negative. We say the same thing with a miyut. If I say, I only want you, I only want Yehuda Frankel. Now, if I twice stressed to the exclusion of others, so we have a rule of derivation that a double negative equals a positive. Miyut, achal miyut, only you. Yehuda, so I said you, and then I said Yehuda. Each one is to the exclusion of others. Now it came to include something else. What did it come to include? So that Chazal have to derive. So here, you have 9 times that you've excluded. It says coin, 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 10 times. So the first time tells me I need a coin. What about the other 9 times? So each one comes to tell me, not only a coin, also plus one Yisrael, plus another Yisrael, plus 9 Yisraelim, because you have another 9 miyutim. So the Gemara says, Ve'ima chamisha koanim v'chamisha Yisraelim. Wait a second, says the Gemara. If your whole logic is that it's a miyut achar miyut, so then you have to work it the way you would mathematics. If you have a minus times a minus, you get a plus. Times a minus, you get a minus, right? Every odd number is not extra. Every time you have 2, you get an Israelite, right? It says, coin, coin equals Israel. Then it says, coin. Now you're starting from scratch again. That should give you a coin. Then you have another coin. That gives you Israel. So the Gemara says, why don't you say from the Pesukim, 5 Kohanim and 5 Israelim? The odd times it says Kohen means Kohen. The even times it means Israel. Every even one is a miyut achar miyut. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, Kasha, that's a question. And we know that Kasha, there are 2 shitas in Rashbam and Baba Basra, whether Kasha means equal to Tiyuvta, that's a knockout question, or Kasha means, okay, it's a question, but I can figure out an answer to that. 2 shitot in the Rashbam, Rashi sides with a more lenient one, I think. Kasha means I could live with that. In the beginning of Chumash Vayikra, when it describes the korbanos, it says, Mina beima, mina bakar, umina tzon. And Chazal Darshan, Mina beima, to the exclusion of this type of animal. Mina bakar, to the exclusion of that type of animal. Mina tzon, to the exclusion of a third type of animal. And there you have miyut, achal miyut, achal miyut, 3 miyutim. And Chazal don't do the math like the Talmud does it here. So okay, let's discuss. But this is a topic to delve into. The Talmud here didn't go too far into it. It just says, okay, good question. V'adam k'tzevel. We said that when a human being was designated, that his value would be given to the temple, same deal. You need 9 Yisraelim and 1 coin. Adam mikadosh. Can you dedicate a human being to the temple? What it means is, if a person says, I'm going to give my own value to the temple. Ditanya, the Brisa says, if a person says, I'm giving my own value to the temple, shaminoto ke'eved, we evaluate him as though he were being sold in the market, in the slave market. The eved itgish lekalkot, and we have in the Torah that a slave has similar laws as property. The Torah says they're passed on as an inheritance like land. So the Torah tells us that they, the slaves, are like land. So when a person designates himself, he's giving his own value like a slave, and slave is like land, and by land you need 10 people, one of which is a kohen. By the same token, when you designate a human being, you need 10 people, one of which is a coin. Okay. Mishnah. This is what you wanted. Hakorei b'Torah leifot mishlosha psukim. You're reading in the Torah, there's a minimum. Minimum three psukim. So you want a short aliyah. Sometimes old people ask for a short aliyah. They can't stand up there for too long. So the minimum is three psukim. We're not really bound by what it says in the Chumashim, Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi. We can move around the aliyahs a little bit in accordance with the Gemaras we saw earlier. This is just an easy way of doing it. So the minimum is going to be three psukim. And when you have a translator there, so the translators used to translate by heart into Aramis, into Aramaic. So you got to give him one pasuk at a time so he doesn't get confused. Uvanavi shlosha. And in the prophets, you could give the translators three psukim at a time. And if he gets confused, we're not too worried about it because we don't learn halachos from Navi so much. It's basically... it's the message that counts in Navi. So the message, people will get the message right. Whether he gets every pasuk exactly accurate, that doesn't concern us as much. Hayu shloshtan shalosh parshiyot korin echad echad. The Gemara will explain this. Medalgin b'Navi ve'en medalgin b'Torah. In prophets, you could skip from parsha to parsha. In the Torah, if you start skipping, you'll confuse people. It's a bigger problem. That kama, how far at kama umidaleg? How far can you skip in the Navi? At kadei shleif sokam tugaman. You could skip as much as you could get in to turn the pages before the translator finishes his translation. And we do that in our haftaros. We do skip sometimes. The haftara, you quote a pasuk in the end, two or three psukim from a different place in the Navi, sometimes from a different Navi completely. We'll see. Look, take note. You'll see that the haftaros really work that way. Hani gimet psukim keneged mi. When Chazal said you have to read a minimum of three psukim, every person who goes up to the Torah has to have a minimum of three, corresponding to what? Amar Avasi keneged Torah nevim uktuvim. Corresponding to the three components of the written law. So, Torah, Nevim, and Ksuvim, corresponding to that, we have a minimum of three psukim read in the Torah. Oh, good question. The Gemara discussed this already. Three daf ago. Very good. And if the three psukim that you want to quote to the translator are each one its own parsha, you can't read all three at once. You read them one by one. We said you're allowed to read three psukim to the translator, but if the three psukim, each one is its own parsha, you can't bunch them up and read them all together and tell the translator, now translate. How so? Okay, go on. Where do you find three psukim back to back that each one is its own parsha, that the Mishnah says you can't read them all at once? So the Gemara gives us the example. The pasuk says, "Kicho amar Hashem in Yeshaya, the 52nd chapter, Chinam nimkartem velo v'chesef tigeilu. Kicho amar Hashem Elokim Mitzrayim yaradu mivrishna lagurusham v'ashu b'efsa shako. Ve'atam alifonu Hashem ki lukach amichinam moshelav yeililunu Hashem v'tamid kol yom shmi menoatz." So there you have it. One place in Tanakh where you have three psukim back to back. Each one is its own parsha. And the Mishnah says when you hit those psukim, you got to read them one at a time. There you can't group them all together and give them all to the translator at once. Okay. Midalgin b'Navi ven midalgin b'Torah. We said you could skip when you're learning Navi, but not when you're reading Torah. Viraminu. I'll throw at you a contradiction. We have a Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara says, it's really a Mishnah, that when the Kohen Gadol would come out at the end of his service on Yom Kippur, so he would read in Achrei Mos, and then he would skip the Parshas Pinchas, and he'd read the non-Parshas Pinchas, I'm sorry, in Parshas Emor, the laws of the sacrifice of Yom Kippur. So you see, they do skip in Torah. V'raminu, I'll ask you a contradiction. Kore, it says the Kohen Gadol reads, Achrei Mos, V'ach V'aso, V'akam Daleg, you see he's skipping. Amar Abaye lo kasha, Abaye says that's not difficult. Kan b'chdei shifsoka tugman, kan b'chdei shlo yifsoka tugman. Yeah, that skipping you could do without the translator pausing. While he's translating, you roll the Chumash over to Emor. Emor is just one parsha away from Achrimos. You just have Kedoshim in between. The Gemara says, wait a second, that doesn't fit with our Mishnah. But the Mishnah says, you can skip in Navi, you can't skip in Torah, that come home the leg, and when you skip in Navi, how much can you skip? At Kadesh, so in Navi it seems to say, you can skip enough that you could skip when the translator won't have to wait and pause for you. Seems to indicate in the Mishnah that in Torah you don't skip at all. But Abaye says, no, that's not a problem. I'll give you a different answer. It depends. If it's one topic, if they're both talking about the same topic, people will remain focused. So then you could skip, like the Kohen Gadol. He reads Achrimos, and then he rolls over to Emor, to the Korban of the day. And that's okay, it's the same topic, so you could skip a little bit. The Atanya, and I'll bring you a brisa that's supportive of this answer. Medalgin b'Torah binyan echad. In Torah, you could skip, provided that it is one topic. Uvanavi b'shnei inyanin. And in prophets, you could skip, even if it's two separate topics. Sometimes you have a prophecy that's all bad, and then at the end of that Torah, we skip to a different Navi and end up with some good psukim. Totally different train of thought. The Navi is describing the destruction, the sins, and then we want to end off on a good note. We roll over to a few chapters down, and we end off on a good note. Yeah, in Navi you could do that. In Chumash you have to remain on topic. In Navi you could go two different topics. Kan v'chan, but by both you have to adhere to the following condition. B'chdei shelo yifsok ha'tugeman. On condition that the translator doesn't have to stand idly in puts. The condition is that you could turn the pages, you could roll the scroll to that place quickly enough that the translator won't have to wait for you. Tanya idach, en medelgin min avi l'navi. Another quote, another brisa that gives us conditions is, if you're skipping around, you can't skip from one prophet to the other. Uvanavi shir shneim asal medaleg, but within treyasar you could skip, that's where we do it. Uvivad shiloi deleg misof ha-sefer letchilato, on condition that you don't skip backwards. You don't read the end of Hosea, and then you skip back 10 chapters to the beginning and read there. Don't read the same Navi out of order. You could skip from Hosea to Yoel, from Yoel to Amos. You want to skip within the prophets of Treyasar, that's okay. But in the same prophet, you can't read part of the Haftarah and then skip backwards to get in a different pasuk. That you shouldn't do. Okay, that brings us to the next Mishnah.